Hello and welcome to We the People. Do sedition laws have any place in a modern democracy? This is a question that we are debating today on the program, as this year we have seen a number of high-profile sedition debates. It all began with JNU, Kanhaiya Kumar and Omar Khalid, as examples of what many, including the BJP, called anti-national. More recently, we saw Amnesty International, the international NGO, coming under fire after pro-Azadi slogans were raised at a conference it organized to debate human rights in Jammu and Kashmir. Then, of course, you had Ramya, who's in fact here with us from the Congress, actually booked or accused of sedition or charged with sedition for simply saying that Pakistan was not hell and people there were actually quite nice. What's also interesting is data that's been released as part of the NCRB just a couple of weeks ago, which actually shows, and this may surprise you, that at least in the past year, it was the state of Bihar that led in the maximum number of sedition cases. But going beyond these individual cases, there is a deeper question here. The Supreme Court has made it clear, and it's made it clear again this month, that without incitement to violence and disorder, an act or a speech or an expression of an opinion, no matter how strong, cannot be called sedition. But are the sedition laws in themselves archaic? Let me start with you, Ramya, before I come to Manish and Nalin. And I know you must speak here not just as a Congress person, but as somebody who went through this kind of farcical being called seditious because you said Pakistani people are actually quite nice. This sedition debate, although brought up by the ABVP, the BJP student union in your state, happened on the watch of a Congress government, as did the Amnesty International case, which again happened on the watch of a Congress-led government in Karnataka. How do you see the fact that you've been called anti-national for praising Pakistan?
To begin with, I think when the lawyer went to court, I don't think the government was aware. The case has now been postponed to the 19th of October. And as with Amnesty, I think the policeman who actually took the complaint, I don't think he was aware of the sedition law himself. And I think when the Home Minister spoke, I think there was a miscommunication. And now I think they've investigated and they've said there was nothing anti-national that happened at the Amnesty event that took place. About being called anti-national for saying that Pakistan is not hell, I don't take it too seriously. And I think there are people who take themselves too seriously to, you know, make a comment like that about somebody else.
But we did see an opposition member, a fellow actor, a BJP leader, in fact, comparing anti-nationals to mosquitoes and bed bugs. So which one are you, a bed bug or a mosquito?
That speaks volumes about his thinking process. And I'm not going to take that very seriously.
But you have taken the position that sedition laws must go. But we actually saw a number of sedition cases on the watch of your own party when it led India at the center. Is this something you're going to raise with your party nationally?
I think as long as the law is there, you are bound to abide by it, as vague as it is. And I think we must do away with the law because I think people are misusing it because it's very broad.
So you think it should go off the books?
Yeah.
So let me take this to Nalin. This happens under every government. Do we as a civilized democracy get up and say it's time for this to go?
Well, I don't know, because there's a counter-argument everywhere. You've got, yes, freedom of expression and speech is very clear in Article 19.1.
Yeah.
You've also got clearly there, you know, you have freedom to even assemble. But you then have a section 144 of the CRPC, which says that it'll become an unlawful assembly. So I think we tend to go into this debate, this is right or this is right, and which I think is wrong, which is, I think, too much of a reaction. So let's look at the entire scheme of things. First of all, are we similar to a democracy like some of the countries like the US or Norway or others where they've removed it? No. In this studio, perhaps, or in a setting in Delhi, consensual sex, even public affection, display of affection might be very natural. Within a 50-kilometer radius, it'll be completely unacceptable. So we've got this width there. I think the Supreme Court has held a very fine balance, and I think that's a correct balance.
But may I just interject you there? Because BJP President Amit Shah, in fact, called the recent victory of the ABVP in the Delhi University polls as a kind of victory for nationalism, right? So nationalism has been in the last year, we've seen the BJP talk a lot about nationalism. Yes. In the context of JNU, it was the ABVP that went against Amnesty in Bangalore. This is clearly a political construct for the
BJP. I'm going to
come
to that. I'll come to it in a moment. Let me just finish that, because these two are not necessarily linked. And I think that would be an incorrect thing to just broadly link anything. That way the world is round, you can link anything together, but I don't think they're linked. So let's come to the sedition thing. I think the Supreme Court is very, very clear. It should lead to incitement of violence. There's a counter viewpoint that says that sedition cases, some 30 or maybe 176 in the whole country have been done.
In fact, the numbers come down.
Yes, it's pretty. So therefore, some people would say that, you know, there's been inciting of violence in the name of those who will even look the other way for natural violence and all. So maybe it's not, you know, it should have been used more. So there are counter arguments in both ways. What Ramya says, and I think in her case, she's correct to say that, you know, there's a viewpoint that someone has come there. But to say that Pakistanis broadly and say that sedition, I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure.
You won't just say that it was a stupid case.
No, I'm not.
Come on, like, I think we can all agree on some things. I mean, Ramya's case is just a silly case.
No, no.
I mean,
I'll tell you why, Barkha.
You're not taking a categorical position even on the Ramya case.
Because I'll live by the Constitution. If the Constitution gives her a right to express it, the counter right also exists.
But there was no incitement to violence. You just explained as a lawyer that it has to have incitement to violence. But to say Pakistan is not held, it's not incitement to violence.
Hold on. So, as I said, I would say with Ramya that this a point of view, and she, a sedition case may be an overreach, but on the other hand, to say that, you know, another person doesn't have the right to express his views because it's not acceptable to Ramya, that
no,
may not
Manohar
be correct.
No, Manohar Parikar, who made the statement, has as much right to his view than Ramya.
But your question on Amit Shah ji,
yeah,
and I want to finish
and then
that,
I want to get Manish,
right,
please.
Here on nationalism. If you ask me personally, I think what happens in JNU, I can't call it nationalism. I was pretty
But would
outraged.
You call it sedition? That's where the debate
Well,
is.
I mean, actually, if it's investigated well, there may be some case to it because out of all the videos and all, but if it's not investigated well, it may not go through.
We'll go to Akhil Sibal in a moment because he is representing one of the students, Umar Khalid. Manish, Aseem is sitting next to you, so the Congress can't really take the high moral ground on this entire sedition versus nationalism debate. From Aseem Trivedi to Binayak Sen to the Kudrunkulam protests, there are many, many sedition cases that I can cite that happened when the Congress was leading the government. Out of it now, would you say this law has to go?
The question really is not that the sedition law has been misused, abused, right? So therefore, that cuts in every direction. It may have been misused by us. It may be being misused by them. That is not the point. The point is there a situation or a circumstance which actually justifies the continuance of Section 124A in the scheme of the Indian Penal Code? For example, presuming that Burhan Wani would have actually been arrested under the sedition law as it stands. If at all the Indian state was able to establish that his videos were inciting violence.
And his videos were inciting violence.
Would it not have been a better option rather than the encounter? And I'm not even going into the question whether the encounter was an extrajudicial killing or real.
We've now entered a completely different territory here.
So therefore, yeah. You see, the law as it has been laid down from the Sarkar case to the Arun Jaitley case
is very clear. He's a
Hizbul Mujahideen
militant. You're saying that he should have been kept alive and booked under sedition rather than killed in an encounter. That is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, I've seen lots of reactions to that.
Quickly,
I want to come to Akhil and
not. Yeah. I think in the case of this, that the extrajudicial killing of any citizen, even of a terrorist, under law is not correct. The courts have stepped in. But to say in an encounter, if security forces are under bullets, and if they are to eliminate a terrorist, and if Mr. Manish Tiwari's this proposition is there, no, they should go out and say, hang on, we are offering you flowers, put your hands up there, let's arrest you. I think that's a little bit of an overreach. It's a political statement with dangerous consequences.
But I just want to point out something. I want to point out something first to Nalin. Your ally in the state, Muzaffar Baig, the PDP, have both actually said what Manish has said.
That's okay.
He could have been given another
chance.
And the allies of the PDP, including the chief minister from the BJP. I have to move on, guys. You can't forget the
BJP has said exactly the opposite.
Sorry, who said the opposite?
The BJP.
I know, but you're running the government together.
The law on encounters is that whenever an encounter takes place, an FIR has to be registered, an inquest has to be carried out. So every
encounters can't have somebody step away to file an FIR.
Baka, you know,
the presumption is that every encounter is actually fake
till the time it is proved to be real.
That is what
and
the Supreme Court has
Court
recently
has
said in Manipur.
1528 extrajudicial killings in Manipur.
Okay, let's move on. We've already seen a number of very provocative things to think about here. Akhil, you have a slightly more complicated case to defend. Unlike Kanhaiya Kumar, whose video was eventually found to have references to Azadi, not for Jammu and Kashmir, but Azadi, he says, from poverty and from the caste system and so on, Umar Khalid actually does not deny organizing an event to commemorate Afzal Guru. whom he refers to as a martyr in a long Facebook post. He writes, he organizes what he calls a cultural evening in rage, right? And he basically calls Afzal Guru a kind of judicial killing and puts the onus, in fact, on the people of India that this was to satisfy your thirst for blood, so to speak, metaphorically. Is this not sedition?
Look, as far as the case is concerned, I don't want to go into specifics because things are pending in court. I'm defending him against disciplinary proceedings by the university, which has a slightly different dimension.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think the issue is whether, you know, all of this is really a misuse of these provisions, like with other provisions of obscenity, of outraging religious sentiment, promoting enmity, things which are trotted out against artists, writers, etc., etc., all generally to serve some political end.
But we would not drop these laws that you mentioned because they are misused. Is sedition different? Should the focus be on preventing its misuse, or does it need to go completely?
Look, the important issue of freedom of speech is the following. When you have a contrarian or unpopular expression of speech, that does not enjoy the protection of the majority viewpoint.
Yes.
If it is a majoritarian view, then it's protected. It needs no protection.
Yes.
But if it isn't, it needs protection. That's what fundamental rights are there
right.
for.
Right.
Now, that protection, where is it going to come from? It's going to come from the state. But if the state is actually doing the opposite, it is allowing invocation of these laws to, in fact, stifle that contrarian point of view, however offensive it might be, then it has a chilling effect on that speech.
And you did represent Hussain as MF Hussain as well. But this is an interesting point of view, General Shankar Prasad, that what goes against the dominant narrative, right? So it could be that 95% of India thinks it's very good that Burhan Wani was killed. But Manish Tiwari, Mehbooba Mufti, and Muzaffar Beg, to name three individuals, Omar Abdullah, to name four that I can think of off the bat, think that it might have been better to arrest him, given what we've seen happen in Jammu and Kashmir. Now, are they being seditious, or is it the obligation of the state to actually give them the space and the protection to express this point of view?
I'm afraid not at all. Look, there is a terrorist, recognized terrorist. There is enough intelligence available on him. He is being tracked for a long time. If you think that you're going to go and arrest him and charge him for sedition, I think it's absolutely outrageous. He represents Hizbul Mujahideen. You want to try him in a court of law before on a law of sedition? I think it's absolutely outrageous. The only way to handle such people is to have a military operation against them and neutralize them.
I'm not talking about Burhan Wani. I'm talking about these people who have said that you should not. Are they being seditious? No, let me just finish.
It's not a question of one political party or another political party in Houston here, what happened in Houston here did not happen.
Yeah.
The issue today is, should seditious law stay or not stay?
Yeah.
And if to stay, in what format
yes.
it should be? What exactly is the definition of
yes.
sedition? Sedition clearly means, as articulated in the articles, to say that anybody who incites a group of people against the legitimate government, anti-national, raises...
But incitement to violence and disorder is
absolutely.
Key, as the Supreme Court has clarified this month again.
If you say that I support Pakistan cricket team, it is not sedition.
So Ramya is not seditious according to you?
Certainly not.
Thank you.
But the point that is seditious is, what happened in JNU? But what happened in JNU is seditious. Whether it is doctored videos or whether it is said by A, B or C, it's a question for investigation.
I'll get Akhil in the handle.
It's a question of investigation, who said what.
But you are saying that we can't make the presumption of innocence even for a Kanhaiya Kumar is the argument you're making.
The question today which I want to really answer first is that the way the radicalization is taking place, the way the kind of terrorism is emerging, the way the young people are being motivated to do wrong things, anti-national. Sedition law is a must in the country to keep its independence.
May I just quickly get an Akhil briefly and then I'm coming to Hindu. No, I just have a question.
Barkha,
do you believe that JNU was an example, a legitimate example of sedition? Because Umar Khalid recently also praised Burhan Wani in a Facebook post comparing him to Che Guevara and then deleted that post. But I would say that many young people have what could be called wacko ideas. Should they be jailed for them?
May I just supplement to that and just add on a question to you. Why do you think, you know, despite defining the law in such nuance, the Supreme Court in its wisdom has actually not ruled 124A to be unconstitutional? I think that's the question we need to really ask. Yeah, why does it still continue to be on the statute?
To be on the books. Okay, quickly. Okay, I have to move on. Akhil, quickly, then
you go. Just to answer the last point, in 1962, its validity was tested.
Yes,
Kedarnath. And ultimately it was upheld on the ground that in the constitution, you can have a reasonable restriction on speech if it interferes with the security of the state or tends to disturb public order.
Yes.
So that's the constitution, and therefore they in a sense read it narrowly to say that if we were to read it widely, then anything and everything could be bunged in. But if it is read narrowly to say that it's where there's incitement to violence, then it would be constitutionally valid.
So now, I want to get Hindol in and actually just couple this with recent electoral student results in both JNU and Delhi University. Very interesting, because on one campus, the left sweeps. On another campus, the ABVP pretty much dominates, except one seat. It takes all the other seats, right? So there is no easy conclusion we can actually draw on how the student community is responding to this entire debate, because a lot of it has involved campuses. Hindol.
You know, I just want to begin by saying one simple thing, and I think the sedition law in our country should be looked at like the capital punishment law.
Okay.
Let me explain.
Rarest of rare.
If you ask me, is capital punishment bad? Yes, it is bad. It shouldn't be there. But if you ask me, if a man takes a rusty iron rod and tears open the vagina of a woman, should he be hanged? I will say a million times, yes, he should be hanged.
Yeah.
Sedition should be looked at like that. And I agree with Ram Guha, who's written, often the, you know, our junior judiciary, so to speak, jumps into action way too quickly on sedition. Now the JNU case, let's come to the JNU case. I would like to know in JNU, who said what? We still don't even know who said what. There are groups, and I know there are groups in JNU who have acted as conduits for Naxals. Now, if they are raising slogans, anti-India
slogans... But
that's
what Vinayak Sen was also accused of.
Sure, but and that is for a court to prove.
Yeah.
But I am saying if such groups have are proved to have raised such slogans, they should be charged with sedition, and it will go to court, and it's for a court to decide. You have to nuance
it. May I just to give a contrarian argument, that what we do know, here's what we do know about JNU. We do know that there was one evening organized to say that Afzal Guru's hanging was wrong. But I will say to Nalin Kohli again, that when Mufti Muhammad Saeed was chief minister, he wrote a letter to the prime minister asking for Afzal's remains to be sent back to the Kashmir Valley. And in that, he called the hanging a negative reference point in the history of Jammu and Kashmir. And he said voices of sanity were ignored. Hindol, was Mufti being seditious?
No, he wasn't. But Barkha, if you take a Mufti's example, obviously you're talking about an organized politician who does politics in a particular way. But we are in a country where there are groups after groups who are leading young people into violence in different... You cannot take an example of a Mufti and compare these situations.
So Mufti
it's
and Umar Khalid's freedoms to express an opinion will vary.
Just a minute. Okay. When you're comparing the letter of
Mr.
Saeed...
This is Abhijit from ABVP. Yes.
Mr. Saeed and Umar Khalid, you must not forget that it was not just a disaffection against the judgment in the Afzal Guru case. He was saying to take judicial revenge against the murder of the Afzal Guru. Afzal tere armano ko manjil tak pahunchayenge. Hum sharminda hai ki Afzal tere katil zinda hai. So that is a different sort of action. As far as you are quoting the recent judgment by Justice Deepak Mishra is concerned, it clearly says it is not restricted to incitement to violence. It clearly says that any particular event or any particular action which causes disorder can also
violence and public disorder, but it says
violence
criticism.
And this is not violence.
Justice Mishra says there are many lawyers here.
I have a copy of the judgment.
We have three senior lawyers here. I'm sure they'll correct me if I'm wrong.
In fact, Barkha, 124A itself, 124A itself actually very narrowly defines the scope of 124A nexus to violence.
Please, when the lawyers correct me if I'm wrong.
One minute, Abhijit.
Justice Mishra, please, anyone correct me if I'm wrong, clearly says that no matter how strong the words may be against the government of the day, those are okay as long as there's no incitement to violence and public disorder.
No, you're wrong.
I will read the lines for you.
That the seditious acts either lead to the incitement of violence or had the tendency or the intention to create public disorder before any FIR is filed. It has clearly says or, not and. You have to read these creating violence and incitement to public disorder as two different things. These are the word or is disjunctive here.
Let you made your point. Let the reactions come in.
The irony.
Akhil, you want to take that? And then I do have to go to Amitabh and Aseem, who've been waiting very patiently for
that. The irony is that that particular event did not result in any violence. Yeah. The violence that occurred was later, when people were beaten up, people were beaten up for that alleged speech.
Yeah.
So that speech didn't actually was not a call to violence. Yeah. In 95, the Supreme Court said in a case where somebody had raised slogans of Khalistan Zindabad, that mere sloganeering is not sufficient.
Yes.
Now look at the kind of sloganeering we have. Typically, we have provocative sloganeering, Murdabad, a fairly provocative, strong term. Now, that's not an incitement to violence. So you can have sloganeering, you can have political speech, you can have a strong viewpoint.
Let Nalin take that briefly. I just want to get Amitabh and Aseem, and then I'll come back to you, Abhijit. Nalin, briefly.
I have two points to say. First, of course, Akhil is in a unique position because he's representing one of the people on whom there is a charge, and then he has to make a case on television. So it's a very difficult position, and I would not like to be in that. Number one. Number two, so therefore, you know, I think there's not even a fine line that I'm seeing.
Isn't that restricting Akhil's freedom of speech?
Not at all. Yeah. So the second point I want to make is that I think, and I say it with all my faculty, I found what happened in JNU obnoxious. It hurt me. I think I, as an Indian, consider myself fairly moderate, fairly this. Because when you say, "Hum sharminda hai, tere katil zinda hai," that is running down rule of law from the Supreme Court, no less. This is the Supreme Court that got up for a terrorist also at 3 a.m. That this is a Supreme Court that gives the right to everybody. What was this? Azadi, Azadi, Azadi. This was definitely reviving something on who was hanged by due process of law for creating something.
I just want to put out a thought there.
We need to not mix it with what, say, Mufti Saab.
I want to put out a thought.
But Nalin, the JNU did not agree with you.
What?
JNU, in the manner it has voted, which has rejected the entire discourse that you ran as ABVP, JNU didn't agree with you.
So therefore, Abhijit, 1 minute, let me finish my point. I think also the whole country did not also vote for Rahul Gandhi and his breaking. So, I mean, where is that stuff?
Manish, one minute. Now, please. So, out of 67 years, for 60 long years, you kept languishing in the opposition.
For the record, remind in 1988, the late Rajiv Gandhi, may his soul rest in peace, he brought in a law on defamation to even stop all the press. So, I mean, let's not get lectures from someone who has a good record on sedition.
Now, let me just bring in Amitabh, who's a member of the advisory board of Amnesty International.
Yes.
Now, Amnesty says Amnesty did not raise slogans. There were people who did at this event raise Azadi slogans. How do you see the debate of sedition that has engulfed Amnesty? Because there are also Indians who will say, okay, fine, we'll have our own debates, but who are these guys to come in from the outside and lecture to us on democratic rights, especially given the controversies around Amnesty, supporting the Taliban, which you're well aware of, which one of your former members, Geeta Sehgal, has raised.
As Ramya said,
yes,
we've already heard from the police in Bangalore,
yes,
that Amnesty was not responsible for what happened. That's one. Mm. The second, I think what's happening is we're completely narrowing down the debate and completely leaving out the moderate voices. Mm. This was a meeting about human suffering. Mm. Amnesty works on human rights. Mm. And I think it's a very legitimate cause. To call Amnesty an international agency is not correct. A, I think you completely divert the discussion by saying as if because you're international, cannot raise questions
Fair
of
enough.
Rights. And second, if you even look at the composition of Indian Amnesty, it's completely Indian, run by Indian resources. So even in terms of the facts, you're not correct.
But the person who heads Amnesty, Akar Patel, very interestingly, had an absolutely different viewpoint on Kashmir when he was a journalist, and his previous avatar spoke about religious fundamentalism in Kashmir, and he saw the
2010
Kashmir,
Mint.
But Akar basically Mint. Argued that this was...
You are saying today that Amnesty is an Indian organization, Amitabh, and yes it is. Yeah. I do not think it's an international organization, but it is led by a man who has completely contrarian, changes his position completely when governments change. On Kashmir, he talks in 2010 in a Mint article, and he talks about Islamism in Kashmir, and he talks about how the problem in Kashmir is Islamism. And today in 2016, he says,
Hindul, can I answer that? Because I did ask Akar that directly, and he said, I separate my own individual view from an organization's
That's
right
very convenient.
To hold a seminar.
That's very
but,
convenient.
But I'll allow Amitabh to
on a different point. Doesn't freedom of speech and expression actually permit you to change your view.
Yeah,
between
exactly.
It does. When and when it also, yeah.
But
Manish,
it also allows
question. Yes, it does. But it also allows question to the people.
But in that case, PDP can also change its view.
But PDP has not changed its view. PDP is on record saying Burhan Wani should not have been killed.
No,
no,
no.
Muzaffar decided to talk to the separatist.
Mehbooba Mufti said he couldn't give it another chance.
It's not possible. It's possible. You'd also love to have your
debate. Okay. Let Amitabh complete. Manish, let Amitabh complete.
Just one sentence. For clarification, I mean, since we do have someone from Amnesty,
yes.
They've also in the suffering of Jammu and Kashmir done any program for the Hindu people who have been, the pundits who have moved out, because we don't hear about it. So I just want to know about that.
I think that's the shallowness of the argument here.
No,
I'm just responding to it. I'm saying that in the same panel, we had a Kashmiri pundit. And this is Mr. Mattu who was speaking on...
Because Amnesty has always been looking
at it. Let me finish.
You always say one person...
Let me add one more dimension. I also want to talk about the rights of these local policemen who are threatened again and again by the Hizbul Mujahideen, by the separatists like Sayyid Ali Shah Gilani. The question then becomes, why does Amnesty not care about all rights? All rights, including that of the Kashmiri police.
That's probably the reason.
Precisely, Barkha, what I'm saying, that you're being distorted in presenting just one part of the story.
I'm just giving you evidence. Sure.
Look at who have been the prisoners of conscience in for Amnesty. L.K. Advani, Jayaprakash Narayan and Soni Soni.
And Advani praised Amnesty.
Look at the political spectrum that you're talking of. Look at the Amnesty International, because we do work with Amnesty International. You will find scathing reports
on Balochistan.
Therefore, to say that Amnesty takes only one-sided position, trying to color it with the current party political polarization in this country is absolutely not correct.
Okay.
This is all about human rights.
So I want to now get in Aseem. Aseem, aapke khilaaf to pura case hua, phir aapka acquittal hua for cartoons. For cartoons that the court decided were not seditious. Isliye ab wo cartoons ka reference bhi kiya jata hai. There was parliament shown in the visual imagination of a toilet, actually. And you were booked for sedition. The national emblem was shown as wolves. आप क्या कहेंगे?
मेरे ख्याल से सिर्फ सेडिशन नहीं, किसी भी डिबेट को यहाँ इसी तर्क ने ख़राब किया है कि एक पॉलिटिकल पार्टी को सिर्फ अपने आप को डिफेंड करना होता है, किसी इश्यू को नहीं करना होता है
जी।
अगर आडवाणी जी का जो समय बयान, जब मैं जेल में था, उन्होंने एक ब्लॉग लिखा था कि ये इमरजेंसी जैसा है, अगर बीजेपी के लोग उस बात को समझ पाते और उस समय जम्मिया पे जब सेडिशन लगाया गया ऐसे अजीब मामले में, जब सब हंस रहे थे और तब वही बात दोहरा पाते जो समय आडवाणी जी ने कही थी, तो वो पूरा ब्लॉक शायद उस सीरीज को तोड़ पाते, शायद कांग्रेस को भी मौका मिला होगा कभी तोड़ने का, पर ये लोग नहीं सुधरेंगे, मतलब ये इनका मतलब। पर मैं मुद्दे पर आता हूँ कि ये बड़ी बात नहीं है कि मेरे ऊपर सेडिशन लगा। कोवन पे जैसे लगा था, कोवन ने एक गाना लिखा था जयललिता के खिलाफ, और बहुत फोक सिंगर है, बहुत आम आदमी है, केरला के कुछ इलाकों में जो निर्दम में खड़े नहीं हुए, लेकिन इन लोगों को जो सफ़र करना पड़ा वो एक अलग कहानी है। मुझे लगता है रम्या का केस एक बहुत बड़ा माइलस्टोन है, क्योंकि कोई सरकार नहीं है, कोई पॉलिटिकल आदमी नहीं है, एक आम आदमी अब ये सोच रहा है कि अगर आपने कहा पाकिस्तान नरक नहीं है तो आप देशद्रोही हैं। आपने पूरी जनमानस की राय को एक अजीब तरह तोड़ दिया है और नेशनलिज्म की एक फिर डिबेट डेवलप कर दी है कि आप इधर हैं कि आप उधर हैं, और जैसे आप कुछ बात कहते हैं मुझे पता नहीं कि कानून क्या करेगा, पर लोग तो गाली दे रहे थे रम्या को, लोग तो टीवी चैनल के डिबेट्स मैंने बहुत सारी देखी, और कोई नहीं था जो खुल के कह रहा हो, मतलब इस साइड का कोई व्यक्ति नहीं था जो खुल के कह रहा हो कि ये मजाक है, सेडिशन तो एटलीस्ट नहीं बनता है। सब के सब कह रहे थे कि मतलब कोर्ट तय करेगा और ये तो मतलब पाकिस्तान के साथ ऐसा है, मतलब उसके कॉम्प्लिकेशन में जा रहे थे, उसके अंदर 50 चीजें निकाल रहे थे, नहीं चलनी चाहिए थी, बहुत ब्लैक एंड व्हाइट मामला था। देश की पूरी जन भावना को डिस्टर्ब कर देना, एक अलग फेक डिबेट लाके इंट्रोड्यूस कर देना कि जो भी कुछ और कह रहा है वो एंटी नेशनलिस्ट है, वो एक अजीब बात है, ये दोनों अलग बातें हैं।
मैं आपसे एक चीज पूछ सकती हूं असीम, बिकॉज बहुत से ऑथर्स, अभी मैंने पेरुमल मुरुगन का इंटरव्यू किया, उन्होंने मुझे बोला कि अब मेरे सिर में एक सेंसर बैठता है, आपके सिर में एक सेंसर बैठता है?
और बैठना चाहिए, क्योंकि इस पूरे डिबेट में सबसे अच्छी बात अखिल भाई ने कही है, जो कही है अखिल ने, कहा कि अखिल ने एक बड़ी बात कही कि क्या हमारी सरकार का ये दायित्व तो नहीं है कि वो हमारे फ्रीडम ऑफ स्पीच को डिफेंड करें, पर हम बार बार देखते हैं कि उल्टा होता है। मनोहर पारिकर ने जो आमिर खान के बारे में कहा बिना नाम दिए, कि किसी ने ऐसा कहा, उनको हमने सबक सिखाया, उनके प्रोडक्ट मंगा के वापस कर दिए, तो स्टेट उल्टा चल रहा है, स्टेट हमारे फ्रीडम ऑफ स्पीच को डिफेंड नहीं कर रहा है, और फ्रीडम ऑफ स्पीच को हम कितनी बहस कर रहे हैं, मजाक कर रहे हैं। फ्रीडम ऑफ स्पीच जैसा कि अखिल ने कहा सिर्फ और सिर्फ तब मैटर करती है जब वो माइनॉरिटी की सोच हो, अगर ज्यादातर लोग वो सोच रख रहे हैं तो आप उसको डिफेंड क्या करता है, क्या डिफेंड कर रहे हैं? ख्याल है कि हम लोग उससे एकदम डाइवर्ट हो जाते
हैं। अभिजीत ऑन JNU वी नो द एबीवीपी पोजीशन, बट ऑन व्हाट हैपेंड टू राम्या? अब एबीवीपी ने काफी शोर मचाया बैंगलोर में, क्योंकि इन्होंने क्या कहा कि पाकिस्तान इज नॉट हेल. Do you think this is fair?
See, individually, I believe that in cases, at a situation when India is facing such crisis from Pakistan especially, and when the Pakistan as a whole is involved in such kind of act, appreciating Pakistan as a good place and appreciating the people of that country who are having such a venomous view about India is not appropriate. Technically, the case, it is for the state government and the...
But is it seditious? Whether you agree with her opinion or not, is it seditious?
Let the court decide.
We are not even saying that Ramya, can we allow Ramya to speak for herself? Can we allow Ramya to speak for herself? We're all talking on her behalf, Ramya.
It's okay, he's entitled to his views. but I think you are entitled to your views, and I don't see why people can't listen and just agree to disagree and not kind of.
But when you were called pro-Pakistan and anti-national, right. You said something to me. You said, if this is anti-national, I take it as a compliment.
Yes, it is a
compliment. What do you mean by that?
I am someone who wants peace. I don't want polarization of society. I want us to have a healthy debate. I want everybody to be entitled to their views. It's okay if your view is opposite to mine. But
can I get a General Shankar Prasad? At least you took a very clear position on Ramya and you distinguished it from the other cases. But you know, I come back again and again, why are politicians allowed a kind of freedom or governments that individuals are not allowed? And let me explain. Mufti Muhammad Saeed's position on Afzal, Muzaffar Beg's position on Burhan Wani, a previous Vajpayee government, Nalin, actually negotiating with a section of the Hizbul Mujahideen. The Prime Minister Modi trying very hard to reach out to Nawaz Sharif. These are attempts that governments make, and have political positions. But if individuals were to express similar points of view, they would not be given the same leeway. Why are politicians given more leeway than non-politicians? No.
There is a clear-cut position which political parties take to make their political statements.
Yes.
If I was an individual to want to go and attend the birthday party of Nawaz Sharif, if he invites me or he doesn't invite me, and I know him, this is not sedition. As an individual, I'm going, no problem.
Okay.
But the problem arises when you say anything which is inciting people against the national interest, against national security.
But who will define that?
As Manish has very categorically mentioned, 124 clearly lays out what is sedition. And that says inciting people against the state. Azadi from in the JNU. That's a clear-cut case of sedation.
But in the valley, sir, today, you know this, served there.
If Masrat Ali is in a procession, Masrat Alam, and there are people supporting him with anti-national slogans, that is sedation.
No, I was going to say something different. Yeah. I was saying that the street protests, Hindol, are raising pro-Azadi secessionist slogans, right?
Yes.
Are we going to realistically book all of these protesters on the streets of Srinagar? Are we going to book them for sedition? The ones who are shouting Azadi?
Why
are we booking the ones who are shouting Azadi?
We are speaking in very yes. broad sweeps.
Yes.
The entire point is, should the law be removed? No, the law shouldn't be removed.
Correct.
Number two, is there judicial overreach? Yes, there is. It should be nuanced much, much more.
Okay.
It should be nuanced to a degree that we nuance the capital punishment debate, right? That's why I mentioned it. We should nuance it much more. Today, we jump to accuse somebody like Ramya, who's clearly not seditious. It's ridiculous. These cases should never rise. But should the law remain? Yes, because India does face many challenges to its sovereignty. And we need a law like this.
It is only going to get worse. Barkha, as I said, with the kind of radicalization that is taking place all across.
And we are surrounded with issues.
From 1947 till 1963, when the 14th Amendment of the Constitution came in, it was legitimate in India to preach secession. I ask myself, was India a weaker state between 47 and 63? So therefore, I think that's a legitimate question.
Okay, Abhijit,
it's an uncomfortable question for us as a state. But the fact is that this country, this constitution, allowed you to preach secession.
Abhijit has a brief question for you, then Akhil, then Dalit. Okay.
Mr. Nehru, when the first constitutional amendment was being brought in 1901A, he clearly said in the introduction of the act which he made, he said that the expanse of the right of freedom of speech is such wide that it is impossible to run the state.
Yes.
And even the 16th amendment, it was not 14th, 16th amendment which was being brought, it was also brought by Mr. Nehru himself. And even in the introductory part of the introduction of that particular thing,
he said that in light of the kind of slogans which have been raised in India between 1951 and 1963, it was legitimate for India to run. Let me move on. Nalin and Akhil, and then I do have to take some audience questions and we can take last comments. The Naga Peace Accord. I find that an interesting, again, something to reflect on. that governments on back channels and front channels do try and bring secessionists on board to a dialogue table, right? If we are able to do that without using the law of sedition, is that not a much more grown-up approach
I think for
a state?
While you're talking of the Naga, I'll talk about Mizoram. My family was involved in it. I've met in the 1989s, late 80s, people who carried rewards on their head in the Punjab thing. Manish's father was shot dead by a terrorist. So, I mean, yes, of course, there is a whole backtrack that takes place. It should take place. And I'll take it straight to Jammu and Kashmir. When you start that conversation, the starting point is always within the four boundaries of the Constitution. You had peace accords, you will have peace accords, and you should have peace accords. Now, let's go one by one. I'll take Burhan Wani. If Burhan Wani, in an encounter, dropped his guns, puts his hands up, the army, in its own protocol, would not have shot him dead.
We would want
to... Yes, exactly. They would have dropped. But if Burhan Wani is firing the bullets, he deserves the bullet back also.
Of course.
Because that's how
no
it is.
There's no ambiguity on that. Yes. None.
So therefore, now I'm giving the same example. If Burhan Wani or anyone else among the secessionists, among the separatists, anyone says, we want to talk, but we are not going to talk about a freedom from India, because the government of India is not going to have a conversation with anyone who says, I want to be a separate country. That's secessionist.
No, but if you're saying we want to find, with them.
Hang on. Ma'am, because that's
all governments have had them.
Yes, I'm telling you, having been part of it too, that when you have a conversation
Mizoram,
and say, yes,
Mizoram.
But when Mizoram declared independence, but when they came to the table, they didn't come to declare, to have a conversation on the terms of what their independence would be.
Akhil,
there's a big difference
The problem is that we, according to me, there's a wavering commitment to freedom of speech. And if we are to recognize or renew that commitment, then we have to take the hard cases. I mean, here, even in this studio, we have a situation, perhaps out of political compulsion, that an easy case like Ramya,
is
a very obvious...
Is not being condemned outright. Even I agree there, with that. I Nalin think it's and Abhishek bizarre. I think we should be able to say in one voice that Ramya is not seditious,
but
we're not
to,
saying that.
We need to take the JNU case and other cases, which are the tougher ones. Deal with them and, according to me, express our commitment to freedom of expression.
I agree with you there. I think that we can't condemn outright what happened to Ramya is an example of a blatant distortion and misuse of the
situation. I'll on record tell you why I'm not doing it.
Why are you not
I'll
doing
I'll tell
it?
You why on record I'll do it. Because if I was to see Ramya only as Ramya, an actor or an individual, yes. But when she chooses a forum to make it as a counter-attack on the Defense Minister of India, it's a political statement. And I will stick to my political ideology
there. Why is it a political statement? It wasn't a political statement. I disagreed with what he said because I went to Pakistan and it was my personal experience.
But you said it in a context at a time.
No, not at all. It was the press who asked me.
And I will stand by
what I said.
And it is still not seditious.
Yes, so that's whether it will stand the scrutiny of law.
No, but as a lawyer, sir.
One second.
But here also, unfortunately, you're talking politician to politician.
Yes. Even the BJP actually has made a distinction between the people of Pakistan and the Pakistani state.
Yes.
And Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, when he went to Lahore in 1999, he actually went and acknowledged the existence of Pakistan at the Minar-e-Pakistan. So therefore, if Ramya is saying that Pakistan is not hell, what's the difficulty that you have in saying that it is not seditious?
Well, I mean, anyone who believes it's not should take a visa and go on a tourist visa and visit Pakistan.
Let's take questions, then last comments from
him. We are living in times of hyper-nationalism. Everything is being looked in from the prism of nationalism versus anti-national. But there is no one set definition of what nationalism consists of.
I think that's, in fact, the hub of the debate. Hindal, do you want to take
that? Can I give a simple answer?
Let Hindal and then Abhishek.
You asked older people, but let a younger person answer you.
Yes.
There's a very simple incident in India's history on what is national. What Sardar Patel did was nationalism. He put the country together, and that's why we respect the man. He put our states together. He brought the country together on one unified platform. Today in India, and I disagree, you know, this fundamental thing that everybody says, today we are living in an age of hyper-nationalism. Today we are living in an age of uber media. So a lot of voices today you hear which you wouldn't hear 10 years ago.
That's true.
We are not living in an age of hyper-nationalism.
But Asim,
same thing happened 10 years ago.
Unhone raise kiya ki bhai kaun tay karega ki nationalism kya hai?
मेरे ख्याल से बड़ी बात है कि अब हमने उसकी परिभाषा को समेट दिया है, बहुत छोटा कर दिया है। नेशनलिस्ट होने का मतलब क्या है, हम इसकी परिभाषा को समेट रहे हैं, हम पूरे देश प्रेम की परिभाषा को बता रिडिफाइन कर रहे हैं और अपने आप रिडिफाइन हो रही है। और वाकई में हमें इस बारे में सोचना चाहिए कि क्या है नेशनलिज्म, केवल मतलब झंडा उठा देना, नारे लगा देना और इंडिया पाकिस्तान का मैच देखे, मतलब पाकिस्तान मुद्दा, हम इंडिया में पाकिस्तान को मुद्दा बनाना चाहते हैं, सबसे बड़ा मुद्दा, यहाँ गरीबी, यहाँ की बेरोजगारी ये मुद्दा नहीं है, हम चाहते हैं सबसे बड़ा मुद्दा पाकिस्तान बन जाए हिंदुस्तान में और ये देश प्रेम है।
ओके, ये देश। Since the beginning of this debate, we've been talking about incitement to violence and public disorder. However, I would like the panelists to define as to what would be incitement to violence. Is it something as basic as peaceful protest, or is it something as big as an armed conflict?
Akhil, why don't you take this? Because Abhijit of AVVP did make a point when he read out Justice Mishra, and he said it's not just incitement to violence, it's also about public disorder,
yeah,
which he would argue happened in JNU.
I think the problem, frankly, with all of these laws, whether it's sedition, as I mentioned the earlier ones, obscenity and promoting enmity between different groups, etc., all of these are observed in their misuse. The net is always cast too wide, and it is usually cast by people who have some political agenda, some motivation, somebody who either wants the limelight or wants to score a particular political point.
Yeah.
Now, here was a case where there was, say, a meeting, let's assume some slogans were raised, and that's it. There was no violence, nothing happened there. And then some videos were played on the media, and strong political statements, condemnation, etc., is what followed, and there was absolute frenzy.
That
led to people being
beaten
up. So you're
saying the violence actually came later and the disorder came later.
Exactly, that provoked the violence, not the sloganeering, but the political opportunism thereafter.
I'll allow you a brief rebuttal there. The question quite simply is that however offensive Umar Khalid's views were on Afzal Guru to many people, Akhil Sibal is arguing that that evening did not in itself incite the violence. It is what followed that did.
I think Akhil sir had not somewhat not read the other part of the section 124A. It also says attempts to. So first of all, first point is that it has resulted. It was an attempt maybe to organize the event and which later committed into public disorder. Secondly, the public disorder at that particular point. Sir, the point is that public, what is the definition of public disorder? So I would read the definition of public disorder as given very recently in 2016 in Subramanian Swami case, criminal defamation. It says a small riot or affray, other cases where peace is disturbed or affects the smaller groups of person. JNU is itself having 8,000 students, and when you are making such kind of comments, at that day we were beaten. The videos, we were only 50 people who
now,
were beaten.
Now I don't have a JNU student representative
to actually. I can have the video. The other part is hyper-nationalism thing is concerned. You can certainly have different definitions of nationalism, different understandings of nationalism,
yes.
Indigenous nationalism or European centric nationalism. But the point is, when you say Bharat ki barbadi hogi, Bharat ke dardas tukde honge, if you make such kind of slogans, it is certainly anti-national.
Okay. Okay.
And in that case, ABVP as an organization will always stand against it.
Abhijit, you can't hog the whole space.
Nalin sir, I have a question, sir, that how justified is it for a law to continue which was enacted by the Britishers? For a country like India, which every day celebrates being the largest democracy on earth.
Thank you. Because yes. I wanted to make a comment which will now come out courtesy your question. Well, the Indian Penal Code was enacted under the British. So do we throw it outside?
Yeah.
We don't. The second is the misuse of a law. Dowry, rape, you can name it. Many laws are misused. Murder is misused. You put a false case. So do you throw it out of the statute? That's not it. I think what you need to look at is not when a law was constructed. What you need to look at is what is the construction and how the courts do it. And the Supreme Court in Kedarnath is very clear. And that's why it's holding the test even today.
Okay, totally out of time. I'll allow everybody 20-second closing comments. A last question here. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask that in the law states that any words spoken, written or the signs made. So what are the words? Can the court specify those? Because that is the ambiguity which is being construed wrongly by the people in power. So if that continues, the sedition debate will continue. So those things should be clarified through amendments or by...
Let's start taking last comments. I'll try and squeeze in a couple of audience questions also in the middle. Hindul, why don't we start with you? 20 seconds closing comments, please, guys, by the watch.
Very simply, we have a law. India faces unprecedented challenges to its sovereignty today. I think every Indian should realize it. We're in a difficult neighborhood. We have very strong internal challenges. A law exists so that we can defend ourselves. However, having said that, it's the application of the law that we should be concerned about, and okay. the application has to be far more judicious, okay. far more careful.
Amitabh.
I think that the sedition law has to go completely
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
We've been talking about big freedom fighters, but we are not looking at the fundamental ideals of Indian democracy.
Mm.
It is about fundamentally defending democratic rights, which includes freedom of speech. And therefore, I think in the current narrative, we'll have to shift the debate back from this hyper-nationalism to actually questions of Dhanamaji. As in, I'm
the man
weeping,
who had to carry his wife's...
One-fourth of the Indian population actually sleeps hungry in this country. How many conversations are we having about that? There's a declining child sex ratio. I think we're completely getting distorted in terms of our conversation.
Okay, concluding comments, let's put in a question here. Yeah.
So my question would be, like, as a country, we should strive to, you know, achieve our goals, like, for example, mentioned in the preamble, right? Justice, equality, liberty, and so on. So my question is that when someone is trying to, you know, bring into the limelight about the human rights violations, for example, in
yes,
the Kashmir Valley.
Question.
So the thing is, when is actually such criticism amounts to sedition or not?
Okay, Abhijit, why don't you take that as the last comment? That is talking about human rights. I'm coming to everybody. 20 seconds closing.
Talking about human rights violation is very much essential. Even in JNU, we have ourselves organized events on the kind of human rights violation which are taking place. As far as Dhanamaji is concerned, we have taken a position that the state needs to improve. We are not taking a position that India is a kind of place wherein everything is heaven.
Okay.
We need to change, we need to evolve. But the cases wherein the grammar of anarchy, any grammar of anarchy should not be allowed to
okay.
stay in the country.
Okay, Ramya,
it is harming the constitution.
He just said that India's
India's
not heaven, and then he disagreed with me and said that I was being seditious, and then there were things going on between India and
Pakistan.
Pakistan
is certainly not heaven.
You said it yourself, Abhijit.
Okay, Asim, last 20 seconds,
please. Asim. Freedom of speech को लेके अपनी राय को बहुत फिर से एक बार प्रभाषित करने की जरूरत है और इसलिए भी क्योंकि हम इस चक्कर में कहीं ना कहीं जो आपने कहा कि एक तमिल लेखक ने कहा कि उनके सर पे सेंसर बैठता है तो जब हम प्रोटेक्ट नहीं करेंगे किसी के फ्री स्पीच को तो लोग समझौता कर लेंगे और फ्रीडम ऑफ स्पीच कहीं बच के रही नहीं जाएगी तो जो भी मेजोरिटी का व्यू है वही व्यू बचा रह जाएगा तो हम डायलॉग को खत्म करने की तरफ बढ़ रहे हैं इस सेशन को हटाना चाहिए
एज अ मैटर ऑफ फैक्ट सेडिशन इज अ रिस्ट्रिक्शन ऑन स्पीच सो आर वी कंपेयरिंग इट विद ट्रीजन So it is a restriction on speech and we are making restriction also punishable and that to a non...
So let Akhil take that as his closing comment.
Look, according to me and what really pains me is that increasingly we are heading towards a culture that does not respect freedom of speech. That commitment is wavering and when you hear something obnoxious, offensive, you want to brand it in a particular way
mm-hmm.
and your reaction is to shout the other person down and then to file a case.
Yeah.
I mean,
General Prasad.
See, democracy is giving us enough opportunity to express our manner in whichever way we want to do, on whatever subject it may be. But it does not mean that you start talking against the state and incite people against the state. Please understand that we are going through very difficult times today in this world. And the kind of radicalization that is taking place,
okay.
if we do not have sedition laws, we will be in serious trouble.
Okay, Manish.
Lomarka, the question is that suppose if somebody juxtaposes his sub-nationalism with his nationalism. For example, if I say I'm a Punjabi
yeah.
and an Indian,
yeah.
rather than saying that I'm an Indian and a Punjabi, in the kind of hyper-nationalistic times that we live in, would that tantamount to sedition?
Yeah. Okay. Nalin, last word. I have to wrap the show here. Do we at least agree, if you take Hindol's capital punishment reference, that this has to be a rarest of rare application, and perhaps the Ramya case proves that that's not what's happening?
I'll make my three comments. Number one, that freedom of expression and speech is paramount. There's no question of the fundamental guarantees. But within that is that if I say something that someone else finds obnoxious, we must have also the equal thing to understand that the other person's thing might be obnoxious to us.
Yes.
And it works both ways. So you can't say my right is curtailed and
Should
you have no right to comment on
Should
me.
Should the law be reformed?
No, I don't think so. This is an ever-evolving thing. Law constantly evolves. It just keeps coming. It keeps defined. Section 66A went out.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it went out. But you see, what I'm trying to tell you is also that it was over a period. This couldn't have been contemplated 10 years ago that you would need something for the social
okay,
media.
Okay, we'll have to
My
leave
last
it there.
Point on what she said is, the application is the critical thing, and the core of that is not the problem with the law. The problem is with police reform, and that's something just like GST. It will involve all the states. It's not going to happen. So the application is where the problem is.
If I understand you correctly, Nalin, are you arguing that 66A should be restated?
I didn't say
no,
that.
You said that, you know, it was required for the social media.
Actually, I'll also, since it came up, I'll also point out that by force, the government of the day, which was then the BJP government, continues under law to be able to defend something that was brought in by the previous government.
Okay, now let's.
So we defended it because we had to.
Now this
not because we wanted to.
I think we will just conclude by saying that this is an issue that needs a lot more debate than it's had. And it needs debate removed from black and white. There are shades of grey here. There are black and white cases like Ramya, which we have to toss out of this debate if we are to look more intelligently at the more complex questions that have been thrown up, for example, by the JNU case. But that complexity needs to come back into our public discourse without any of us being called anti-national. Thank you very much
Thank you.
For joining us on this.